Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Oh, well, we've had a pre-show gossip that we can't share with our listeners because...
Showbiz, wasn't it?
It was showbiz. It went very showbiz. And there was a little, not slander, I wouldn't say, but we bitched a little bit.
Well, of course we did. That's showbiz gossip.
We
can't have showbiz gossip without me.
And we don't want to share it because we don't want you to think less of us.
I think they've got the measure of us, Jenny.
I think secretly, and I think a lot of them would have really enjoyed our pre-show bitch.
I think they might have done. I've no doubt.
Because they're like us as well. They're not very nice. Under the skin, under the smiling skin, most of us aren't very
vile.
Nice.
Vile. Some vileness, isn't there?
Vile. We're vile women, and we're proud to be vile women. Hey, Judith, I don't know about you, but it's autumn in London.
Autumn. I know, and raining. And do you know what? If it hasn't rained for a bit, you sort of forget how annoying rain is. It's annoying.
It makes life hard work. Now, tell me this. Have you got an electric light on where you're recording from?
Several. Have you?
Yes,
several.
I have. I've got the main light on in my study.
I know. It really is.
It's turned, hasn't it? It just turned on a sixpence last night. I mean, we'll talk about this in Culture Corner, but we went into the theatre. It was all quite nice, quite balmy. Came out, it was pissing down. There were so many people on the bus. Anyway, Judith, I know that you're ready for autumn. I know you're ready because you have been on an autumn clothes buying spree.
I did.
A destination shop, no less.
I thought, do you know what? Well, two things. I thought, first of all, I'm going to stop buying kind of things that are quite like and I think are going to be useful. And instead, I'm going to be choosy and get two or three things for the autumn that, you know, that I really, really like. And
are we calling these key pieces?
I suppose I've never really mastered the whole thing of the capsule wardrobe, but we're heading that way. And I think I might be on the ladder. Do you know what I mean? Of grown-upness to achieve that.
Did everything you buy have a lining? Because that's all very grown up, isn't it? If you buy things that have a lining.
Not everything, but they... So I thought, do you know what? I thought I'm going to go to Burford. That's where grown-up people go and shop.
I don't really understand Burford. What is it?
Well, have you been to Burford?
I'm not sure.
Well, you know, I don't think you have. You sailed through it. I told you to stop at the Burford Garden Centre thing. And you, as I recall, on the way to one of your gigs last time, you sailed through. Well, I've got
this. Well, only because I was on my way to a gig, Judith. And actually, I do think it was that time of the evening when it was about 5 o'clock when I was sailing through Burford. Well, and I didn't factor it in.
Indeed. Frankly, you could have...
Okay, so is this a village? It's a village, or is it a shopping centre?
It's a village. It's on the edge of Cotswolds. I think they call it the gateway to Cotswolds, actually. And it's kind of not like Broadway, which in my mind is... very tweedy sort of, you know, a little bit old lady shops.
You've got to watch that, haven't you?
You have, it's a danger.
Yes, because I'm slightly worried about Burford being sort of full of little boutiques for women of a certain age.
Yes, I know. Frilly frou things.
Yes.
I know what you're very
overpriced. Called Sandra's. Sandra's.
What are they?
Sandra, the girl's name. Sandra.
Oh, yes.
Sandra's bespoke fittings for the busty lady.
Yes, I know what you mean. No, it's trendier than that. So it's got kind of, you know, very trendy cheese shops that sell ridiculous things and...
You were in your element, weren't you? You were in your element, Judith.
Yeah, baskets are plenty. Basket shops, Argus shops.
All your fetishes in one
licorice.
Village.
Yes, there's a big shop that has major licorice items. Yes, it has. It's almost like they thought, okay, well, let's get hold of it here. The only thing is also, what's his name? You know, the chain. What's his name, that presenter that wears the pink trousers? It's Michael Portillo.
Sorry, I just called him cunt features. I don't know how that slipped out. It just slipped out. I was trying, the words Michael Portillo were on the tip of my tongue, but somehow, I just came out with the word cunt features. I don't know how, and I will apologise. Sometimes I just get Michael Portillo and cunt features confused. Apologies all.
Indeed. Well, we don't have to apologise to Michael Portillo because the chances of him listening or knowing anybody who listens is absolutely
Well, if his good lady wife is listening, we apologise, Mrs. Cunt Features. Sorry, everybody, I'm showing off. I've woken up reckless this morning. I've woken up reckless.
I know.
Okay, Judith, you're in Burford.
Yes.
And you've got the itch.
I've got the itch. I thought, now I'm not going to spend too much, but I would like one or two nice pieces. So yes. I went into, it's a lovely shop, actually, lovely shop. And they've got those racks of trousers. You know that you know this kind of thing. They haven't got them on hangers. They've kind of got them on racks, sort of the range of, I think they're called Rohan or Ronan or something, German. Germany, see, is good.
Oh,
large
very
ladies.
Good for trousers. Yes, I have got, I used to be a place in Shrewsbury. Oska, a German make, and for the barrel-shaped body.
Exactly. Yeah, sensible sizes, stretch.
Except you haven't got a barrel shape.
Well, I have at the front. Of course I have. Anyway, they're this range, and they had kind of lovely, stretchy velvet ones, and they had so I marched in and I didn't mess around, I didn't start looking at anything. I just said, right, can you tell me the trousers in this range that will suit me? Oh yes, you know, and yeah, brilliant, you know, right, that one would be good for you, that would I try, that one 16, 18, there you go, try them on. Oh yes.
Well done, Judith. Did you get them in jewel colours, and are they the velvet stretch?
I bought the lovely grey, dark grey velvet stretch, and I bought the navy blue, very, very dark navy blue. Reminds me of the grammar school gabardine I had.
Ink, like they sometimes call that colour ink.
Yes, quink ink.
Yes.
In a kind of stretchy, I don't know what to call it really, but it's not velour, it's kind of, but smart. A nice little edging on the bottoms, you know, with a little pleaty bit.
Oh, I don't understand that. What do you mean?
Well, you know, like a cutout bit at the bottom. You know, on the bottom, it's not like a hem. On the hem, there's just a bit that's got like a flap, you know.
Like a turn up?
Yeah, well, not a turn up, but, you know, a bit that parts. You know.
Oh, a little slit at the ankle.
A slit at the ankle.
Oh, yeah, you don't need that. You haven't got a particularly bulbous ankle. You know, some women, Judith, would need that just to accommodate their fat ankles. Some women, not you. Okay. So two pairs of trousers.
Yes. Looked at some of the tops, but they were, you know, they were £150 too.
Oh, my goodness,
I thought, no. I thought, I can't. So I went two doors down, there was a place called Fenella selling jumpers.
Would it be a woman's name, Fenella? It's Sandra's sister, Fenella, the posh one. They're only half sisters. Sandra's from this common second husband. It was all a bit of a mistake. Okay, so Fenella's, that does sound posh. Okay.
Fenella's, yes. It wasn't particularly posh, and they were doing two jumpers for the price of three. And the lady in
charge of it... No, Judith, stop there. Because that does not make sense. You have just said two jumpers for the price of three. And there will be people at home going, oh, fuck's sake, Judith.
Yes, you're quite right. Except
you're
they would have known
down.
What I meant. They would have known what I meant.
Three for two, anyway, like
yes,
pants
two.
In marks.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Okay, so you're in Fenella's, and it's Fenella's. Three for two.
Three for two. And they were just block-coloured jumpers, but different kind of sizes, you know. It was a bit, I thought, oh, dizzy with choice. Dizzy with choice it was all of a sudden. So
did you get needy again? Did you say for lady?
Did you? I marched up. Right, can you tell me the shape that's going to suit me? I just didn't mess about. And I said, right, I bought these two pairs of trousers, got them out. What would you think? And I was sceptical. I was sceptical by what she pulled off the thing. She said, that's the style for you. That's the range. Definitely. I thought, are you sure? She was right.
And you got a mustard jumper, didn't you? Because the mustard, of course, goes with the grey and goes with the navy. Beautifully.
Exactly.
Mustard and navy is a classic combo. It really, really is.
It's classy, isn't it?
So you got the mustard one. What were the other two? What were the other two?
Oh, well, I got a safe blue, like a kind of petrol blue to go with my, you know, ink one. Trousers,
yes.
A bit safe that was. And then I also got like a, you know, it's quite trendy at the moment, I think. I never know where to say mauve.
Let me guess.
Oh, sorry.
Oh,
I told you now.
I was going to guess raspberry.
Oh.
Raspberry.
That's also quite trendy at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, but I can't do purple. I can't do purple.
Can't you?
No,
can't
I can't.
You? No. Pourquoi pas?
Don't like it.
You just go,
I don't like your purple jumper.
No, well, you haven't seen it. I'm very pleased.
I've seen it in my head. I've seen it in my head and I hate it. I love the mustard one. I think your trousers are great. Jury's out on the petrol. I'd have to see that. I'd have to see that in the flesh. Okay, well, I'm very glad. I'm very glad that you had a successful spree. And you tried everything on. You see, I may have made a stupid error this week. Because I think, you know, when you sent me the podcast notes, and I thought, oh, fucker. She's got some new togs. I've got to get some new togs. So I bought two pairs of trousers and I'll report back next week because I have a horrible feeling both sets will have to go back because they aren't that the sizes are extra small, small. Well, let's forget that end.
For a minute, I thought you'd ordered extra small.
No, don't be ridiculous. I mean, only company I'd buy extra small from would be sort of, you remember there was a shop for outsized gentlemen?
Evans. Oh, no, tall and mighty. Mighty
yeah,
and
something
tall.
Like that. Then I might risk, an extra small waistcoat or something. I don't know. But I went for the large in both. And I am, if those come to me, and there's only one size bigger than that in both brands. You know, there's not extra an extra, large. Extra large. If there was an extra, extra large, I'd probably have gone for the extra large. Because I'm just thinking I cannot be the biggest person buying this out.
Well, you wouldn't be, would you? Because you know what they're like. I mean, extra large is not actually large, is it? It's about sort of 16 or something.
Well, this is where I think I might be in the middle of large and extra large, and it's just going to, I think one will fit. I think I bought a pair of trousers from Toast, and they tend to be cut quite generously because they want to keep their fat middle-aged ladies happy.
Indeed.
And the other one is a COS pair of trousers, and I am worried about those.
I'm afraid I think that might be going back.
Well, I've got trousers from COS on, and they're a large.
Oh, okay. Lots of give. It's very stretchy.
Oh, they are a stretchy. And these are a stretchy as well. They're not a cut.
You're right.
Do you know what I mean? They're not.
I thought you were going to say that C word again for a minute.
I've used them up now. I've done it. I've done enough. I know when I've got to stop. I'm going to be swear free for the rest of the pod. You can listen to the rest of the pod in front of your 4-year-olds. So yes, that's very exciting, isn't it? And I'm a bit worried about the trouser I chose from Toast.
Judith.
The other week I saw some red and white gingham, and I just thought there's nothing more cheering than red and white gingham. I bought a pair of red and white gingham trousers. They're really for the summer, but I have been umming and ahhing about these red and white check gingham Toast trousers for a long time, and they are either going to be a triumph or an absolute disaster.
Are they sort of mid-calf? They can't be down to your ankle.
Sure. They're nearly down to the ankle. I don't go mid-calf because, you know, mid-calf tends to be the fattest part of the leg on most ladies. So I don't know why anybody goes mid-calf. Anyway, that's by the by. But can I just say, last night I went to the theatre, which we will discuss later. And I went into two shops to try and find a snazzy top. Because I think both of us are at snazzy top age, aren't we? You know, you just think, oh, what is that? Something with a bit of zhuzh, a little bit of personality. And to you know, because I often wear dark-coloured trousers, you know. Well, apart from red and white gingham ones.
Well, yes.
And there is no colour in COS and other stories. I was on Longacre because I was going to a West End theatre last night. I was on Longacre and I was very disappointed. It is all a monochrome.
Oh, yes, they don't like patterns, do they, in COS? No.
They've stopped. They used to. Yes. They used to at least do one or two per season and they've gone off it.
Are you?
Yeah, furious.
It's quite a strong word, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm livid.
Well, you've been zhuzhing it out with all your scarves. You're the one person I know that can. You really got scarves sorted.
I've got scarves sorted, yes, I have. It's been many years of trying to disguise things with scarves. Yes, I'm quite good at scarves. I've got a very nice collection of scarves as well, because Jeff's bought me some good scarves. Hey, do you know what he's doing for me at the moment? I know you've had your wedding anniversary, but get this, Jeff is growing me some indoor radishes.
What? He's growing you some indoor... What you said? Oh, you know what I'd really like in life is some indoor radishes. What?
I didn't even say it. He read my mind. I didn't even have to say it out loud.
He's also got drugs in it. Is he sure he's not growing some marijuana?
I don't like marijuana. It makes me feel sick. I don't like. The only drug I ever liked was cocaine. And you have to stop taking that because it's quite Moorish and you can become addicted. So I haven't had any of that since I was 28.
Only did it once. Only ever did it once. Never again. Too nice.
It was too nice.
Couldn't trust myself.
But he is. I put a picture up on our Instagram. I have.
I haven't seen
it. It's not had many likes.
That's a very strange thing to grow. It reminds me a little bit of infant school.
Yes, it is. Let's face it. Let's face it. It's a little hobby for him and it's keeping him up. But I've never seen anything sprout so quickly in all my life. I mean, you know, they have germinated.
Well,
I think that is
indoor.
The word.
They're happy little souls.
Yeah,
look
yeah.
At
but
us indoors,
honestly, it looks like they might work, Judith.
It's only a small pot. The only thing I would say is the pot looks a bit small to me.
Well, he didn't put that many radishes in, and he's got to sort of weed some of them out.
Right.
He's got to pinch some of them off.
By this new hobby of Jeff's. Has he got a lot of time on his hands?
No, he's done a lot of framing this week. It's all a bit technical and complicated, but he's got these black and white photos of a very old flower photographer from Berlin, 1941. It's all a bit esoteric. And he's been framing those all week. He's been very busy. I don't know how he's had time for indoor radishes
as well. Precisely.
Absolutely.
Precisely.
Anyway, there we go. Have you got anything talking about food?
Yes.
Taste sensation of the week.
Oh, well, I'm low on taste sensations. I'm, you know, because I'm a diet, I'm a no-carbs diet. Struggling a bit, to be honest.
What did you have for breakfast?
Well, I had... I'm going to tell you what I had for breakfast. Then you're going to see how much weight have you lost.
No, I'm not interested. You know me, I couldn't give a shit. I think you look great.
Bacon. I had black pudding and tomatoes.
Yeah, but you didn't have it on a rafter of bread, did you? You just
How
much bacon? How many slices?
Well, I don't know. Is it two of our lovely honey? What do you call them?
Oh, the ones, jolly hogs. Two thick jolly hogs. Nice.
Very nice. Bit of black pudding. Very, very nice too. No, I've only lost a pound after 3 weeks. 2 weeks of it I'm doing. Anyway, it is a bit boring. But listen, I've had loads of emails from the gang with lots of sort of
so many emails.
I've got to keep going.
Up to a point. Up to a point. Until you get boring, in which case you can keep going, but you have to keep quiet about it. And the same, my taste sensation before we get on.
Oh, you've got one. Go on.
Well, Jeff and I did, this is so carb heavy. Jeff and I had the theatre last night, and we secretly really like five guys. They might very well be.
Yeah.
Five guys named Mo.
I know you do.
I had the hot dog, and we shared. I tell you what, if you go to Five Guys, and you get the regular chips, there are so many chips, it is enough chips for two.
Nice.
And Jeff had the burger, and. We were very happy with all the teenagers in Five Guys. Everyone
does it,
else.
Does it come with slaw? Does it come with
no,
slaw?
There's no slaw. No, there isn't slaw. The sides are disappointing, I have to say. What they do, though, they do these big troughs of monkey nuts that you can help yourself to.
Oh, yes, I know. You told me about those years ago.
I don't know why I didn't just shovel a load into my bag.
Well, quite fit. Exactly.
Yeah,
Especially in the theatre. You could have been shelling those in the boring bits.
Can you imagine? I don't think that would have gone down well. I went for a mammogram this week. Judith. I'm getting all my bits sorted
squashed,
out, looked at,
looked
squashed.
At.
Yes. That's a funny job for somebody, isn't it?
Oh, isn't it just?
The boob wrangler.
The boob wrangler, the boob squeezer and squasher. Yeah, I mean, with you, I bet it doesn't even hurt because you've got tiny boobs, haven't you, really?
Oh, it does hurt because whatever you've got, they squash it.
Oh, I suppose they do. So okay. Oh, I know, it's that last bit, isn't it? Oh, that last bit, that little bit. Oh.
The sideways one, I found the front-on one more painful than the side one.
Oh, just thinking about it makes me wince. Yes, I know.
Oh, I think it's over and done with, though, isn't it?
Got to have it done. There you go. That sense of relief.
Part of your housework is just, you know, another bit of tidying up. You just got to bloody do it, haven't you? Anyway, so we're not going to talk too much about the carb-free diet, but you did get a lot of suggestions for breakfast that didn't
involve. I did, including, quite a lot involve seeds. And, you know, there were some very useful photographs, actually, from for some people. But it kind of looked like, do you remember when you had, did you have a budgie when you were little?
No, because we were quite posh.
All right, then. What did you? Okay. Was it very working class having a budget?
No, it isn't. I was being mean, which I sometimes am.
Spiteful.
No, there were budgies in the family because, of course, you know, from Blackpool. So my paternal grandmother had a budgie. Yes, she did.
Well, she would have, wouldn't she, in Blackpool?
Yeah.
But yes, it was. So if you had it, well, you won't know then. But there was something called Trill.
Oh, I do know Trill. Trill was terribly famous.
Yes.
There were adverts for Trill on the telly.
However, I can't now think whether it was did we used to sprinkle it on the bottom?
Yes. Yes.
Like a cat litter for budgies.
Yes. Yes.
That's right.
You filled a little bowl with Trill.
You filled a little with Trill. That's right. So yeah, a lot of the breakfasts look a bit like that. I'm not averse to a bit of
Trill.
You know, seed. No, that's right. But I do need to start nuts and berries. Nuts, berries, yogurts and Trill.
It's a strange one with nuts, though, isn't it? Because if you overdo the nuts, your calorie fucking content goes through the roof, doesn't it? Just one last thing, fact about budgies, actually, Judith. At one point in the 1950s, before I was born, obviously, about 95% of the population had budgies. So it was nothing to do with class or anything. They were just a phenomena in this country.
How come you know that? Just a fact.
It's a fact, but it's not been fact checked. What I mean.
But
no, I don't think I did. I think I heard that at some point, and I might have cemented it into my mind and just lost some of the detail along the way.
Well, it's another specialist subject, isn't it? If we're on that, you're on the wheel with Michael McIntyre, then I suppose.
I've never seen that.
Coleslaw and budgies. What?
I haven't seen the wheel with Michael McIntyre.
Don't
do people have specialist subjects?
Oh, it's ever so good. It's ever so good. Yeah, it's a really good format, and he's obviously so good, isn't he? Yes, you have to choose a specialist subject. I was watching it with Ellen and Mike at the weekend, and Ellen said to me, what would your specialist subject be? Honestly, couldn't think. I mean, you know.
It's terrible, isn't it?
Know,
because some people sort of do Rivers of the Congo or whatever.
Yeah, I know. I'm really struggling, I am.
Really, really. I don't know enough about one subject, because every year I get asked to do Celebrity Mastermind and give all the fee to charity. I just think, I can't go on national television and make an absolute tit of myself, not have a specialist subject and then have to give all the money to a charity. I can't bring myself to do that.
I don't blame you. I think you'd be all right on books. I mean, I really do think, you know, current sort of book. No, you'd have specialist subjects. Maybe
what
gardening
they want is,
I could do.
Yeah,
maybe
gardening. You could do. I could do indoor radishes. I could do the germination.
The nicher, the better.
Absolutely, that's it. You've got to narrow it down. You've got
exactly.
to narrow your field of expertise down to something that only ever did like Fawlty Towers. Just didn't do that many series.
So that'd be a good one, wouldn't it?
That'd be.
You could. That's right. You could mug up on them.
Yeah. Listen, what else have you been up to this week, Judith?
We had a cousin's reunion in Birmingham. I've got two first cousins on my father's side, and we're all only children. You know, all my father's siblings had one child, basically. Yeah. So we don't really see each other very often, but we had a cousin's reunion, and I put a picture on the notice board. And I'm the youngest.
I could tell.
Oh, thank you. And yeah, it was really, really lovely to see them. But because if you haven't got a sibling, right, you don't really know what you were like when you were little, particularly. And obviously, my parents are no longer here. So I asked them. Well, and I'm obsessed with myself and self-centered. So I said, what would be the word that if you had one word, what word would you use to describe me when I was little?
I'm going to guess.
Go on.
Okay. They would have described you as bossy, or spoilt, but they might not have described you as spoilt because they were only children as well. When I was growing up, all kids who had siblings in the 1960s thought only children got everything. It was just a sort of one of those things that you just totally believed. It was like only default. Children were spoilt, and that was, there was no argument about it. That was a fact.
Yes, I know what you mean. I think I was on the receiving end of that, definitely. Well, good guesses. Spoilt. Spoilt was definitely a word. So I was spoilt of the spoilt, wasn't I, in that case?
God, you were queen spoilt.
Do you know what I mean?
Did they describe you as spoilt, your cousins?
Yeah. Didn't even have to think about it. Straight out of their mouths, both of them. Spoilt. Yeah, absolutely. Christine was bossy.
Oh, yeah. You see, you were the youngest, so you wouldn't have been able to be bossy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Geoffrey was much more difficult, but it was really nice to see them. But then I found the photo kind of, you know, when we were... Oh, something like 52 years ago.
I think it was longer than that, Judith. I'm really sorry.
Actually,
you said 52 years on the Instagram.
You did the sum. Did you do the sum?
And I did do the sum, and I thought I could interject here. I could say, I think you'll find this 62 years ago. But I'm not going to say it. I'm just going to think it, because a lot of the listeners will be thinking the same. I don't need to actually say it out loud and write it on our Instagram account. I just laughed and thought, oh, she's lost a decade there.
Yeah, of course I did. Cousins are nice things, though, aren't they? Have you got
very nice things, really nice things. And yours have done really well, haven't they? I know that because, I mean, I can tell by looking at them, they look like they've done well for themselves.
Well, I suppose that. Yeah. It was a really jolly lunch.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Now, I don't know whether you've been shopping recently like I have, but the fucking Christmas crap is out. It's already in the shops aplenty. Have you noticed
it? Well, I haven't noticed yet because I don't go to the supermarket. I get a delivery. I can't be arsed. I just can't be arsed.
Well, you haven't got time anyway.
I haven't got time. I haven't got the inclination. Yeah. But I was in town last night and I didn't feel that it was there yet.
Oh, they maybe have not got the sort of...
They've not got lights up. No. Fucking Halloween. I said I wasn't going to swear, but I've had it up to here with Halloween, and I've had it up to here with the influencers sort of doing their houses up ridiculously with Halloween goodies, and can we just put a lid on it? I think I might have said that last week. Yeah, I apologise repeating myself, but I haven't changed my mind.
Well, it's heartfelt, isn't it? It's heartfelt.
So Christmas has crept into Oxfordshire.
It really has. I've got a dark secret about Christmas, which I completely forgot. Actually, until recently,
tell us, and it will lift your burden if you share your dark secret.
The trouble is, sometimes Mike listens to this when he's in the gym. But anyway, right, here goes. Okay, we've had a real Christmas tree every Christmas. Okay, when the girls were little, fair enough. I love the smell. Okay, all very charming and everything. But you know, they're always too big. They have to be sawn off. Then the whole bloody thing, you know, they shed. I'm the one that gets the dustpan and brush out, etc., etc., etc. And the last year, the trail of pine needles as it went through the kitchen. I thought, I've had it with this. Do you know what I've done? And Mike loves all that. Loves real Christmas trees. Guess what I bought?
You bought a fake Christmas tree, Judith.
A fake Christmas tree. Yeah, I bought it soon after I was cross about the needles because I thought, well, I'll cross about it now and I bet they're cheap. And it was. I bought it and he didn't see it arrive and I snuck it up into the loft where he doesn't know where it is. The other day he was in the loft and he said, there's a big box there. I don't know what that... Oh, I don't know, I said. So I'm going to have to break it to him that I have bought it. It looks jolly nice to me, but
no,
I think...
No, it's not nice.
Of course
no, it's
it
not,
will be.
No, it's not.
It'll
I'm
be
on
absolutely
side.
Fine.
No, it won't. No, no. There's not... It's, you can store it in the loft, but it's not coming down from that loft. Not yet.
So
you're
is.
Not ready. No, you're not ready for a fake Christmas tree yet. Mm. You're a fit young woman. You're
sometimes,
a fit young woman.
Sometimes, Jenny, you side with Mike
yes,
in a way
I do.
That I find
I
it very, very irritating.
Yeah, I'm really sorry, but...
Daisy, you're going to have to edit this out. What
no,
she
she's
here?
Not. This is staying right in. And if Mike's listening to this in the gym, I bet, you know, he'll be feeling a surge of confidence and he'll probably put his running machine up a couple of notches and he'll go, yeah, I'm going to go home and I'm going to fight the Christmas tree battle and I'm going to win. I mean,
really
I tell you, okay, I'm going to give you a get-out clause here.
Oh,
I think the fake Christmas tree is a very good idea, and you can say to Mike, I bought it in a sale, it was ridiculously cheap, and I thought one day we might go to Cornwall for Christmas, and rather than faff about getting a real tree there, you know, it's on standby for a Cornish Christmas.
That's not going to work at all. No, I'm not buying that. No. I'm going
to
put up a fight. Until I shot myself in the foot by mentioning it on this bleeding podcast.
Yeah, I know. I think there might be.
I reckon,
yeah, I think the emails will be fairly split down the middle. Actually.
I think they might be. I reckon it's going to be a very attractive.
It's
option.
Like Brexit all over again. There isn't what I've realised since Brexit is there isn't a thing in the country that doesn't divide the country into two.
Right, you're probably right.
Shall we go to Culture Corner?
Culture Corner, yes. Let's metaphorically stroll over there, shall we?
Well, where are we strolling to? Are we strolling to the West End?
So we get now. You've been to yes. You've been. To
you went
film.
Off West End, didn't you?
I said, but is it off West End?
Yeah,
Soho.
I think,
ooh, right.
It's not a West End theatre. You went to the Soho Place Theatre, which is very new.
It's gorgeous. It's really gorgeous.
But why have they called it the Soho Place Theatre when there's a Soho Theatre round the corner?
That is very, very silly of them. And I had to Google and double check. And, yeah, I mean, basically, it's right next to Tottenham Court Tube. I mean, right
did you see the film
yes,
installations? What did you think? Were they good
gorgeous,
ones?
Gorgeous. And I remembered that you'd mentioned them. Very lovely. Very lovely.
Yeah, Ellen yeah. Great. Ideal if you've got sort of babies in buggies and you've got
yes.
no idea what to do with them in town. Just go and
yes.
sit there outside Tottenham Court Road Tube Station for half an hour.
Absolutely. No, the theatre's lovely. Brand new. Very in the round.
Yeah.
Comfortable, good, lovely to see a new theatre actually. So yeah, we saw a musical which is called The Little Big Things, and it's based on Henry Fraser's book, and Henry Fraser broke his neck basically when he was 17 diving into the sea in Portugal.
Oh, God.
And you know, paraplegic. So you think, oh God, turn that into a musical. I mean, that's extraordinary, isn't it? It's extraordinary things to do, and it was. It was beautifully executed and very cheery and life-affirming and all of those things. I think it could have been darker, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm. There could have been, because you just think, well, wait a minute, I'd quite like to go right to the bottom with you before we're coming up. But it was...
Did you feel that it was that you were too old for it? That you were too much of an adult for it? And
oh,
that
well,
it was for a slightly younger age group? Because I saw Ocean at the End of the Lane last night. It was
What's
the
that?
Press night.
What's
well,
that?
It's Neil Gaiman, who has written some young adult. I don't know enough about Neil Gaiman, but apparently massive following. Anyway, this was a National Theatre production, and it's now landed in the West End at the Noel Coward Theatre, which is a lovely, lovely theatre. And we had great seats in the stalls, and it was so well done. It was immaculately done, because the National Theatre just has that classy, they just have this class
yeah.
stamp on everything.
Yeah.
It just is
yeah.
one of those
yeah.
things where you just go, okay, I can trust these people because they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And, oh, well, Fintey Williams was in it, playing an old crone. And her mum, Judi Dench, was on the front row. It was quite star-studded.
Ooh.
Yes,
Ooh.
Yes. The national treasure that is Judi Dench.
Wow.
She had a front row seat so she could look, her, you know, because Judy's eyesight is quite poor now. So, you know, it's nice to be up close and personal.
Nice. Did she have any monkey? Did she have some monkey nuts on her lap?
No, she didn't have the monkey nuts.
Right,
she
okay.
was very well behaved because she's a pro. And I tell you who else was in the audience. There was why do I know such crap about so much stuff? There was the daughter of Daisy might have to help me out here, of the Oasis fellow, you know, the two brothers. Daisy!
Oh, which...
it was Anais Gallagher was with her boyfriend friend. Mm-hmm. So that is Meg Matthew and...
Noel Gallagher's
daughter. Beautiful skin,
Impressed that you recognise them, Jenny.
Yes.
Very good.
And then Jennifer Saunders was in as well. And I bumped into her in the interval. And honestly, Judith, I made a bit of a prat of myself. Because I'm a big fan. Cool. And we haven't met that many times, but
haven't
she
you?
Said hello.
Surprising.
No, not really. So I went, oh, hello, Jennifer. And Judith, because I didn't know what else to say, I kissed her on both cheeks. And it was like, I'm not a very affectionate person, as you know. And halfway through, I thought, what am I doing? I've just lunged with my head at this woman who is looking slightly taken aback. And it looked like I was being really over-familiar. And, you know, if anybody knows Jennifer, just apologise. I just sort of, I was kind of kissing her as if to say, I think you're great. Kiss, kiss. And she had with her what I wished I'd had with me, which was a teenager, because... It's a young adult story. And there was a bit of... Jeff and I, you know, I'm in my 60s, he's in his 70s. Behind us, there was a school party from Haberdasher-esque.
Oh, really?
And okay. they were loving it. They were absolutely loving it.
What's it about?
Well, it's a kind of a magical kind of, you know, one of those magic realism. It's about a man who goes back to a pond of his childhood where something extraordinary took place. And it's got a wicked stepmother in it. It's part fairy tale, part sort of, you know, new. It's a new Narnia kind of thing. You can disappear into this duck pond, which is called the ocean at the end of the lane. Whatever, it's too complicated to go into. But there was a lot of physical theatre, and it was really, really done well. But for me, I'm thinking this is for teenagers. This is for 12. Well, I think there was an 8-year-old boy who's spellbound watching it. You know, for a sort of 10 to 25. But how can they afford it? How can they?
Well, yes. And also, would they actually put that on the flyer? Would they? I mean, I'm not sure whether they would, really. It's interesting that you say that about Little Big Things. It hadn't really occurred to me that that might be the case.
I think there's this new fashion that adults are meant to accept young adults with kind of without questioning
Possibly.
Whether we're
Possibly.
Too old for
yeah.
I wouldn't call it infantilizing of us adults, but there was a bit where I just thought, but what I'm watching something that I admire hugely, but the story, apart from the stepmother bit, which was extraordinarily well played, that's when I really started to enjoy it, when this wicked stepmother came into the production. It's an interesting one, and I think there's quite a lot of it. And I just felt that there were a lot of kids who would love it and will never get the opportunity to see it.
Well, yes, in the West End. I mean, the bloody price of the tickets.
Yeah,
is just
I mean, I don't
horrendous.
Know because they were freebies, to be honest. And I was really glad to be invited, and I'm very glad I saw it. But you just think it couldn't be done as a school tour thing because it's just so technically kind of, you know, ambitious.
Yeah.
So, but they did. They did some clever things. There's so many. The set design and the just that. So clever. Aren't people clever? Anyway.
Were there sliding things? There's often sliding things.
Oh, there was some stuff with doors where the stepmother just duplicated herself and came through different doors looking exactly the same.
Wow.
Like a sort of slightly run down Marilyn Monroe. And it was just the kids behind were just going,
Gosh, that's amazing.
Really,
that's
if you've got, you know, if your kids love Neil Gaiman and this story, I don't know whether it's possibly been a book, I don't know. I think it's a fabulously well done thing. Mm. Anyway, mm-hmm. I've seen some art as well, Judy.
Yes, I saw on the notice board some sort of...
Sarah Lucas.
Yeah, funny.
Sarah Lucas.
Said it made you laugh.
It made me laugh, though it sort of has a very serious point, and it was, you know, she's a YBA, Young British Artist, so, my age, probably a couple of years younger, came up with the Damien Hirst sort of generation of artists. And I really like her work. It is a tiny bit one trick pony, but it is really nice to go to an exhibition and come out grinning your head off.
Absolutely.
So I think
that's not good.
Yeah, it's a real, and also you're at Tate Britain, which has got everything you could possibly want to see under one roof. Plus this. I mean, you do have to pay for this exhibition. It's not part of the collection.
Oh, as ever. As ever.
Yeah, yeah. But it's...
Is Tate Britain the one that's on the riverbank?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the old one. It's the old one. It's my favourite. It's my favourite by far. The other one's far too big and I get confused and get tired.
Well, we do get tired these days, don't we?
I just get tired and think, oh, God, where's the other bit that I meant to see? And then it's got the big extension and I don't like it. And it still smells like a new multi-story garage because this concrete hasn't set, I don't think.
Oh,
but there we
God,
go.
Yes, that smell. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah. Anyway, telly.
Telly, watching The Boiling Point still, which I know you went off, but we are still enjoying that very much. Then, gosh, if you've been watching The Reckoning about
I haven't
Jimmy
seen
Savile.
It yet. Well, Jeff and I caught about 5 minutes of it. And, I mean, I didn't want to watch it, but I realised as soon as I caught sight of a bit of it how well done it was.
Why didn't you want to watch it? That's insane.
Just scared. So, scared and hideous. I just thought, is it going to be a bit tacky? Is it going to be a little bit...
It's very classy. Very, very classily done. I mean, Steve Coogan's extraordinary as Jimmy Savile, and the kind of just sort of things like the haircut. Do you remember that dreadful haircut that he had, sort of like limp grey, sort of I don't know, nicotine stained
everything. Yeah,
everything about this man was repulsive and revolting and aggressive, and at the same time, you know, sort of citing his Roman Catholicism and the Duchess, his mother, and his charity work. And, how did he get away with it?
It's petrifying, isn't it?
It is.
It's absolutely petrifying.
It is.
And the access to children that he had, and Jim will fix it. And it is disgusting.
It's
I mean, I think that's why I didn't want to watch it, because it makes me feel sick to my stomach. But the few minutes I did see, I as you said, you know, I just thought, oh, this is an extraordinary piece of work by Steve Coogan. And they are managing to steer this away from being really tacky.
Yes, exactly. And sort of voyeuristic. And I think that actually...
That was the word I was searching for, Judith. Voyeuristic.
But also I think the way he played the establishment in terms of, you know, the Leeds Royal Infirmary management... The way he played people in authority and the establishment, and indeed the royal family, fuck's sake, and the prime ministers, is a one-off. But also it's worth looking at to see how he does it. And I do think that there's a way he had, I think, of deflecting. And, sort of very, very fleetingly met him. But the way he would talk to people, like, I don't know, oh, you dolly birds or something. And then you might wince or something. And he'd say, oh, you know, but surely you are the fairer sex. Or, sorry, I'm not putting that well, but the way he would always make it then sort of like... Your fault. You're being the stupid one. Oh, don't be so sensitive. Don't be so ridiculous.
Yeah.
That is so...
This country has done some terrible, terrible things and allowed some appalling things to happen. I also want to... talk about the Beckham documentary, which
I'm looking forward to those.
I wasn't looking forward to it. I thought, well, I mean, I'm not that interested, not interested in football, but I'm intrigued with the power couple that are the Beckhams.
Yes, well, exactly.
Oh, what an eye-opener this documentary is. This country can behave like complete animals at times. The paparazzi, so much to answer for. Beckham, when he's 23, does a ridiculously stupid thing during a very important football game. I don't know whether this is a World Cup, European Cup or whatever, and he kicks an Argentinian player and he's given a red card. And a certain section of the country turns against him with such fury. You know, there are dummies of David Beckham hanging from places. They basically want to kill him. I mean, it's just it's atrocious. And Victoria's pregnant with their first child at the same time. There is no, they, that they are hung, drawn and quartered by the press. It's appalling. It would never be allowed now. I really recommend the show. I really do. Mm. They both come across really well. I haven't got up to the Rebecca Luce bit yet. I don't know how they're going to handle that. But at the moment, they are handling the whole thing. So, yeah, so I think we've got quite a lot of quality telly at the moment. So
we have.
We really have. And I'm just going to sort of mention Bake Off because I'm still really enjoying it. And the casting is fantastic and the quality of the bakes is amazing. But I do feel Noel has no one to play with now. He's a bit cast adrift. There are these three adults in the tent and Noel. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know whether anybody feels that. Or I think most people watching are just glad it's gone back to cooking basics, to, you know, baking.
Has it, though? Oh, has it? Okay.
I think baking is the star again.
Okay.
Books now.
I'm back on Still Life by Sarah Winman, which is very, very good and a very sort of fat, big tome. But I'm quite tempted to buy the new Grace Dent, you know.
Oh, definitely, yes.
I think I might do that. I heard her talking about it on Women's Hour, and we love Grace Dent, don't we?
Yes, we do. So and you know, her new series of Comfort Eating is great. Talking about big tomes, we still have hours of The Beasting to go. I think it's 27 hours. It's a
bloody
huge
hell.
We've got about 12 left because I'm away so much. But it's slow going, but it's great. I've also been reading Miriam Margolyes's Oh Miriam because I'm interviewing her in Portsmouth next week on stage at the Guildhall. Should be a laugh.
Right.
Yes. So I'm dipping into that now to do my homework. That's our book roundup, Judith. We've been very busy. Theatre, art, telly, books,
shopping.
Yes. Yeah.
How many more gigs have you got to do?
So I've lost count. All I know is that tonight I've got Ipswich because we're recording on Thursday. Ipswich tomorrow is Potter's Bar. Saturday is Birmingham, and Sunday is Lincoln. Well, we're coming to the end of the show now, Judith.
Yeah, I'm a bit tired now, are you? A bit tired?
Well, I'm fine. I think you probably need maybe a small handful of Trill.
Yes, I do.
To keep the budgie on her perch. Yes, as we mentioned earlier, lots and lots of emails about mouth ulcers and about low-carb diets. Yep. So thank you both.
Thank you very much, everybody. I know. Brilliant, actually. Thank you, gang. Good
and
work.
There was a really good email from, I'm trying to find her, Angie, age 54, 11 and a half months. About the husband.
Oh, yes, the husband who finds us annoying. Now, wait a minute. Hold on, I'm just, she says how much she enjoys the podcast. Thank you very much. And then she says that her husband refers to your podcast as the Moaning Old Crones. Bloody cheek. So my question, she says, is this. Do you have any suggestions on where I dispose of a body?
And then she adds, I think secretly, though, he really enjoys it, as he will often listen in and laugh along with me. Well, how to get rid of them?
Mustn't it?
Well, I don't have much land, so there's nowhere I can bury anybody. So I would just say acid bath always.
Acid bath, yes, I know. That happened in Breaking Bad, which I know you haven't seen.
No. It's been used a few times.
Complications all round, though, isn't it, really? Complications all round.
Oh, you've got to go and buy your acid.
I think, thinking about it, I go the bonfire route. We've got a big garden. We've got a nice big bonfire. So sent a photo of it yesterday.
Yeah.
A lovely day on our anniversary. Round the bonfire in the afternoon. Do you like a bonfire?
The bonfire?
Right. Yeah. What do you think? The bonfire?
You can't even... You're saying bonfire.
What, as opposed to bonfire?
That's what it sounds like.
Well, you say Shrewsbury or Shrewsbury.
Both of them, Judith, because I'm not making a decision on that.
I'm a terrible despot. I'm calling it a bonfire, so there.
A bonfire? Oh,
yes. Okay. What do you think?
Bonfire. That's what I think. I like a bonfire. Nice. I know you like a bonfire. If anything ever happens to Mike and he goes missing for a while, I think you've just dobbed yourself in it. This one's a good one, Judith. And it's from a younger listener. Well, she's only 29 years and 10 months.
That's very young, isn't it?
Yes, do you think I know.
Right, okay.
And she's been a massive fan since the beginning. Just a quick message about hotel travel and food. I don't know if you're aware of Fascinating Aida. Well, what's your response to that, Judith?
Well, we know them well. Dilly is one of our close chums.
Absolutely, and a fellow grumpy old woman.
Yes.
And this listener said, I have seen on their stories they use a voucher. What's it? A voucher electric hot pot.
Yes, I know. There was a picture, wasn't there? It's like a saucepan, a plug-in saucepan that you can do kind of cooking in a dressing room. Dilly obviously uses it in her dressing room, doesn't she? So Ollie, our listener, has very, very sensibly suggested it for you.
Can you imagine me being asked? Can you imagine
No,
that's not absolutely. That's not going to happen. But I'm very. It's a
very
vulture.
Nice,
a vulture. I'll Google it. I will go. I'll go as far as Googling it, which I think is far enough, to be quite honest. Right then, Miss Judith, we have things to do. What are you up to for the rest of the day?
We do. I'm going to get my paints out. I was watching Portrait Artist of the Year last night, and I thought...
I missed it again!
Oh, so good. Yeah, it was Richard Curtis and, you know, his wife, Emma Freud. They were both subjects.
Sitting.
Sitting. Yeah.
Are you going to do a portrait? Are you going to try and do the twins?
Portrait.
Yeah, no, portrait. Listen, you say bunfire, I'm saying portrait. What are you going
to
do?
Just thought I'd do, you know, muck about with some paints and try and do a bit of self-portrait just to get some nice, interesting colour on a piece of paper because I haven't done it for months and months and months and months and months.
So are you oiling or are you acrylicking?
Oh, oiling. Always oiling.
Okay.
Yes. So that's
are you going to do that in the Wendy house?
Of course I am. Oh, yes.
Okay.
What are you doing?
Got some writing to do.
And you're on the way to...
And then I'm on the way to Ipswich.
Ipswich.
So anyway, listen, have a great day. Daisy, have a great day. And we shall reconvene same time, same place. Oh, no, it'll be a different time, but it won't bother the listeners because it'll come out at the same time as usual.
Yes, it will. Okay.
Yes.
So just some more emails, gang. Lovely to hear from you always.
Lots of love. Let's remind them of our address.
Oh, go on.
Because I find when we do that.
Your turn.
Oh, Jesus
it's
God.
Your turn.
olderwiderpod@gmail.com.
Oh, very good. I thought I caught you out there.
Yeah, not quite. I panicked for a moment. I
know you
panic.
Did. I enjoyed that. Right. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.